You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Oh, you're even more tone deaf than I am.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
I haven't heard the theme in a while.
you just fast-forward past it?
I do. I just get to the right, because I've heard it before, so.
Chris Harmon and I are talking about Game of Thrones Season 6,
yes.
Because it just ended, and holy shit. Like, all right, first off, I'm going to say this. I don't think there's ever been a bad Game of Thrones season. I think that up until Season 5, every season was better than the previous season.
Yeah.
And 5 is the first one that is kind of like, guys, we got to hold off and slow things down a lot.
I mean, George is taking his time on the books.
Yeah, that's exactly what season 5 is. Season 5 is, please let him go ahead and finish the next book.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like drawing things out. And there's some great shit in season 5.
No, there is. I mean, we see more ice zombies, which is always good.
Yeah.
Obviously Jon Snow.
We didn't see a lot of ice zombies this season at all. One episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which admittedly was a badass ice zombie episode.
It is a badass, and it's a sad episode as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that. But yeah. I think that, I mean, my biggest problem with season 5 was just the pacing. And kind of the introduction of new characters, or who, not every new character, but specifically the Dorne storyline, which just didn't work for me at all.
No, that's, even in this season, the moments they deal with it are kind of like, why are we even, what does this have to do with anything?
Well, they only deal with it twice, because there's only one scene in Dorne in the first episode, and there's one last scene in the 10th episode.
And both of which you're like, what does this have to do with anything?
Well, I know what it is, because it's everyone reacted so poorly to that.
Yeah.
And that's like, okay, we're going to touch on this once because we need to wrap up something. So we're going to kill off one of these characters, Prince Doran, who no one really cares about. And
he was the hologram on Star Trek.
Well, you care about him.
Yeah.
I don't. And then we're going to touch on it again in the last episode, but we're going to introduce a character that everyone loves, which is Grandma Tyrell.
I was wrong. He wasn't the hologram. He was not. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
He was another guy.
Chris made a mistake. So
but he was from
you,
Star
all
Trek.
Of you, attack him in the comments.
He was from Star Trek, goddammit.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
He was from Deep Space Nine. He was the doctor in Deep Space Nine. The hologram was somebody else, Robert Picardo.
All this
on
Star
Voyager.
Trek nonsense,
sorry,
whatever.
Sorry. Which is better than anything that we're watching now. But still. I'm kidding. I don't know. I'm not going to hold the apples and oranges. Yeah, so the Dorne thing has almost nothing to do with anything, and is thankfully so minorly dealt with here, where it's like, guys, just have them die in a bomb accidentally blows up or something. Who cares? Mm-hmm. They have nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'll say for this season, right off the bat, you immediately know that they have cast off the shackles of being locked into what the books are doing.
Yeah, because all this is just new stuff that we don't know from the books, to a certain extent.
And it's moving so much faster than any season has before it.
Which, I love that fact.
And it also has a lot to do with the fact that they're like, no matter what George R. R. Martin decides to do with the books, we only have this many episodes left. We've decided what our stopping point is. Hell, they just announced today.
Yeah, I just read that. Yeah.
15 episodes left, that's it.
So exciting.
Yeah, so two... Basically,
two half seasons.
Yeah, two 1.5 seasons.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So, this season, part of why it's so exciting is that we're on the end run officially now.
Yeah.
They're moving all of these plot elements so forward. They're getting rid of the extraneous characters.
Yes, they do.
Which,
these
you know,
two episodes, the last two episodes,
the last
they get
two
rid
episodes
of a lot of people.
Are all about, like, let's wrap this
You're getting
shit
too
up.
Expensive. Dead.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't know about expensive, but they definitely, like, are. Like saying it's time we finished this run. I mean, like getting the whole, like as we see towards the end, the what are the religious douchebags called?
The faith militant.
Yeah. Ending that shit.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing, but seriously, there's other shit about to happen and we need to wrap this up.
I mean, in the same thing in the North with the Boltons.
Yeah.
Which was something that that was kind of my favorite storyline for a long time, was our introduction to Roose and Ramsay Bolton.
Ramsay Bolton was even better villain than Joffrey was.
He was, because he was competent and he was intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, he was a sadistic son of a bitch. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah. I mean, I bought the fact that he, he's just more intelligent than Joffrey. He's a better villain.
Partially a more experienced older actor.
Sure.
Who brought more of a sort of psychotic nuance to
it. He's
to that
kind
part.
Of the Joker of Game of Thrones, in
yeah,
a way.
He pretty much is.
He loves chaos and he excels at manipulating
Just people. Wanted to see the world burn.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah. As long as he remains in power, though.
Yeah, exactly. But even when in the penultimate episode, when Snow is just beating the fucking holy shit out of him. He's just laughing.
He's loving it, yeah. I mean, he's into it. That's just part of his character. He loves pain. And probably one of my favorite this part of any Game of Thrones episode is that even in the end, when everything, it's just, he has nothing left, he still thinks he's going to live, no matter what. Even when he confronts Sansa, he's like, oh, is this where I'm staying now? And he's all arrogant about it. And he's like, oh, no, I guess this will be our last conversation. Whatever. I'm a part of it. You can't kill me. And she's like, your memory, you'll die. Your memory will fade. Your words will fade. Your house will be extinguished. And it's at that moment where he realizes, oh, I've lost everything.
Yeah. And that whole point, you're meaningless. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And your last supporters are who are going to tear you apart.
Yeah. And it's so appropriate because, as in previous seasons, like, his hounds have always, like, they've killed so many characters.
Yeah.
I mean, just this, a couple episodes ago, when he kills his father, Roose Bolton, who I was shocked by. I mean, you kind of knew
that. Didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it coming. I mean, we kind of knew that something eventually was going to happen because, as we find out, his mother-in-law is pregnant with a boy, and that's a threat to Ramsay's namesake and making him Roose Bolton's heir. And he's like, I'm just going to take care of this right now, and stabs his father in a very similar way in which Roose killed Robb Stark. So again, kind of comeuppance for the Boltons. And then again, he feeds Walder Frey's, one of her daughters, to Hounds and his half-brother. So it's just, to me, this entire season is kind of a comeuppance for a lot of different characters, particularly a lot of villains. And it's a reuniting of a lot of people that have never seen each other since, like, the first episode of the first season.
It's not the behavior I would have expected to happen post-Misfits for the time travel character from there. It's like, I get that you're going back in time. You want to see, like, what it was like in the old days. And then you do this?
Yeah.
Seriously? Didn't see that. Didn't hold up for me there.
Then he's Puppy Chow.
I will say one of my favorite arcs this season was actually Arya.
I might disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah.
I really liked it. And partially because it harkens back to one of the things that I really love is, like, the blind swordsman Japanese, like, honor stuff, like with her becoming an assassin and all that. I loved that shit. And I loved, like, the second character, the only person more than Roose Bolton that I wanted to see get just slaughtered was, the waif who was beating the shit out of her when she was blind. I'm like, please let her die brutally and horribly. I was like, so happy to see her go.
And we do see a girl, but we actually don't see it.
No, we should.
Which is kind of disappointing.
Admittedly, I would have liked to see her, be tortured for a whole episode.
We see her face on their wall of faces, so, Arya obviously.
And that and even, like, the whole, like, we don't know what that transition point was between her going back to the thing and saying to the guy, guess what?
Yeah.
I'm better than any of you motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. And then seeing her getting to take out somebody from her list.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
to take out Walder Frey.
Walder Frey, played by David Bradley, who is a fantastic actor. People know him, obviously, from Harry Potter, playing Algus Finch. And, of course, right now for The Strain. And, like, Walder
Frey. So good on The Strain.
He is. And he's just, I mean, Walder Frey is just one of those despicable characters that, of course, was responsible, or one of the major players responsible for the Red Wedding. And I love it that Game of Thrones borrows from South Park. It's very much the Scott Tenenbaum Must Die. Where before Walder Frey gets his throat slit, which, again, is very appropriate because Catelyn Stark had her throat slit.
Yeah.
And, again, it's just, can you come up and... Arya kills Walder Frey's two sons and then bakes them into pies that Walder Frey then eats.
Yes.
So awesome.
The only downside of that at all is the chick's face she was wearing was like really hot.
It was very attractive.
I was like, damn, that girl's super hot.
She's actually a model, apparently.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess that, it's Game makes of Thrones.
It's like, if they don't take their clothes off, they're a model. If they take their clothes off, they're a porn star.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, it is actually literally true. There is a lot of other good story stuff going on here as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think this season, the most memed moment in the whole season of all things.
Oh, yeah.
Was, hey, what's up, baby? Look, from, Giant Killer to, Brienne.
Oh, Tormund, Tormund, the giant spirit.
I loved that moment.
I was like, as soon as I'm like,
what's up?
When it's first introduced, because the one that everyone, memes or creates the gifs of, is like her giving the look when they're on horseback. But even before that, like the episode before, when he's kind of looking at her while he's eating, I'm like, are they trying to establish like a romance thing? I was unsure of it. And then it's like, oh no, they're totally going for it. And I'm completely, I shipped Tormund and Brienne.
Now, I will say, this is the first time in this whole show that I think, wow, Jaime might actually end up with Brienne.
Because they
made a point of mentioning he only likes blonde chicks.
She's like a
earlier in the
blonde.
Show, and they established that, like, yes, he has not just hooked up with his sister.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we all like Jaime, and we don't really like Cersei.
No.
Like jeez. although her revenge was like, okay.
It's a Michael Corleone moment.
You got that. You earned that. Yeah. You had that, but you got a lot of shit coming
but
to you.
But you're evil and you don't deserve what
And Jaime is more like, where Cersei's never been redemptive of her evil.
No.
Jaime has been multiple times.
To a certain extent, I still think he's an evil prick, as we kind of see in this season. Like, one of my other favorite parts is when his siege of Riverrun, after the Freys lose control of the Riverrun castle, which was occupied by the Tullys, we see the return of the Blackfish, who's an excellent character.
Yes.
And we see that Jaime's interrogating Edmure, basically promising all these things. He's like, look, unless you do this, I'm just going to catapult your newborn kid over the castle walls and let him splat. It's like, no, he's still... people always say, no, Jaime's he's a good guy. And I was like, is he, though? Because he's still kind of a prick in the end. Like,
no,
he'll still do the Tywin Lannister kind of despicable thing.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he's any more despicable than even the most positive character on the show with that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes down to it, like, look, guys, we just got to get this done.
Sure.
And then he doesn't actually do the stuff he says he's going to do. He just threatens to do it.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
You know, I think they're setting him up to be a survivor on the show.
I don't know. I mean, he's definitely, obviously, he's back for the next season. He's one of the few people who's still alive. But I think that there's going to be a wedge divided between Cersei and Jaime for the next season.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I wouldn't be surprised if they have her make, now that she's back in control of King's Landing, some really horrible decisions that even he is like, okay, I'm gonna have to finally take exceptions. And let's not forget, all their kids together are now dead.
Yeah, which was the prophecy that we learned in season 5, is that you will see the death of all your children.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was like, well, yeah. And she's responsible for the death of Tommen, which, I mean, we're gonna get into it more, but her entire plan, her Michael Corleone moment, where she kills all of her enemies, it's so well filmed, and the use of music. I mean, Game of Thrones, of course, has a great score, but that moment, I was like, wow, this just everything about this, it just works, and it's so menacing, and it's like you're dreading what's going to happen, even though you kind of have an idea of what it is. They kind of hinted throughout all of the seasons where the Aerys II, the Mad King, before the end of his reign, before Jaime Lannister killed him, he had placed catches of wildfire throughout King's Landing, under the Sept of Baelor, under the Red Keep. And it was meant to, like, in that last act, like, okay, if I'm going to be killed, then I'm going to destroy everything, burn them all. And Cersei, and this is all kind of, it's talked about in season 1 and season 2, and then it's briefly touched on again in season 6, and to see, like, oh no, it's actually still there. And just the way in which her plan is carried out, and the characters who die, which I'm very sad to see Marjorie Tyrell go. Natalie Dormer, excellent actress.
Oh, no.
I was shocked when she died.
I did really feel like this makes sense narrative wise.
Yeah.
There's nothing about this that doesn't make sense, but really hate to see her go.
Yeah, it is. But the other thing I love, and I've said this before, is that any characters in the show which they that sudden realization is like, I'm about to die. Jonathan Pryce, who plays the High Sparrow in this, does such an excellent job of just conveying all of his emotion, all of his feelings in just a look.
Yeah.
And that sudden feeling is like, oh, I fucked up. I underestimated. And, you know, he's had Cersei under his thumb for 2 seasons.
Yeah, it's like, you took me by surprise because I honestly didn't think anyone could take me by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what?
Yeah.
The moment you let me have anything vaguely resembling freedom, I put into execution a plan that was more fucking douchebaggy than anything you could have pictured someone would have been capable of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like the whole, like, you know, yeah, a lot of people, innocent people are going to die from this.
She doesn't give a fuck.
But I don't give a fuck. Which he was never capable of understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And even the stuff, people who didn't get incinerated by the wildfire explosion at the Sept of Baelor, we see Grand Maester Pycelle, played by, I forget the actor's name, but he played the villain in the Last Crusade, and he also played Grand Admiral Veers in The Empire Strikes Back. He's a British actor, I forget his name. But then he is stabbed to death by like a dozen children in Qyburn's like laboratory. And Grandmaster Pycelle, he's a scumbag, I kind of felt some sympathy for him in that.
Like, just because you're like, you're kind of a sad old man.
Yeah. Well,
as well as like Lancel, who like follows, like who's, Lancel Lannister follows the kid down in there. Like, what are you doing, dude? I mean, we've already been established that you're not that bright.
No.
But you're like, it's a kid.
I'm going to chase
him.
Yeah.
Like, well, you kind of had that coming.
Like, he was a rapscallion. So that's the thing, man. These kids, they're brutal.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well,
I mean,
they're all the new Littlefinger?
Well, they were of Varys, because that we find out in the season 2 that Varys' spies, who of course is now he's working for Daenerys and with Tyrion, they were children, his little birds.
Yeah, but who's the new guy?
Qyburn.
Qyburn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He's now the hand of
like,
the king.
Now
as well.
He's like, I'm doubling down on what my kids do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, like Varys, the bald guy, right?
Yep.
The one issue I have with this whole season is that dude is like 1 minute he's in Dorne and the next minute he's in wherever the fuck, like, what is the Dragon World?
Marine.
Yeah. Going back the other way.
It's a narrow.
Like, why did you go all the way back there to go all the way back there? Like, that makes no sense.
It's a narrow sea, Chris. It's what they call it. They call it the narrow sea.
Okay. Cause it just didn't serve any purpose that I could see.
I mean, I've heard that complaint, but to me it doesn't bother me. Again, they're trying to wrap all this up as fast as possible, and they wanted that epic glory shot of Daenerys' armada, which is, you know, her, the Unsullied, the Greyjoys, which I definitely want to talk about that, because I think that's going to be set up for the next season.
Okay. No, wait, go into the Greyjoys.
Well, I mean, the Greyjoys, I mean, Yara and Theon, who has finally escaped Ramsay Bolton with Sansa in the beginning of the it's the tail end of the 10th episode of the 5th season. Now it's established again in the first season when they both escaped. I mean, Theon goes back to the Iron Isles and to meet with his sister and father, Balon Greyjoy, who was killed by his brother,
Douchebag.
Uncle Douchebag. I think Euron Greyjoy. I think it's Euron Greyjoy.
Damn, you like really spend time memorizing.
I memorize these names.
Because I'm just like Uncle Douchebag.
Yeah, I mean, like, he is an Uncle Douchebag.
I make up my own names for all the characters.
Yeah. I mean, and what's so interesting about him is that I'm like
Jean Grey. You remember when you did that? Sorry. We haven't gotten into Jean Grey yet.
No, so. We haven't. No. Well, Sansa, she's got great stuff. But I mean, with Euron Greyjoy, he's kind of being obviously set up to be kind of the next villain of the new season, or one of the main villains of the new season. And he, you know, kills Balon and has that epic moment during the Kingsmoot, saying, like, I'll create 1,000 ships and give them to Daenerys and my big fat cock. Theon didn't like that because, as we know, he doesn't have one anymore.
Yeah.
They make it a point of saying, you don't have a cock. But, he is definitely a douchebag because, as soon as he's anointed king, which, by the way, the Ironborn have weird traditions where they drown you first in order to become king.
That is a very strange tradition.
Yeah.
I wish they would do that here in America so 70-year-olds wouldn't, in general, become president.
No, yeah, that probably
But then Bernie Sanders wouldn't have made it even if he had
gotten that mission. No, he wouldn't like that salt water.
Yeah.
But as soon as he survives his drowning, he's like, oh, where are my niece and nephew? Let's kill them. So,
they saw that coming.
They hightailed it out of there. But, again, it's all set up for the next season, obviously, but I really like his introduction. He's kind of like this badass character, again, filling the void that's left by
I feel like, in
Ramsay.
Some extent, he's going to be a minor, like a three-episode arc villain.
Maybe.
You know?
Honestly,
there are bigger issues now. We've got
the ice zombies.
This is the gathering of the armies. This is very Tolkien-esque at the point we're at now.
Yeah.
Which the series has never been terribly Tolkien-esque at all.
It's always...
And now it is.
Yeah.
It's like we're getting to Return of the King level, where mm-hmm. you've got the ice zombie army of evil, and you have the Starks in the north with their whole gathering, which, by the way, if you didn't get the chills from, all of them, going I cried.
I cried.
When they're all supporting, putting their swords down, and like mm-hmm. the little girl with the greatest speech ever.
Lyanna Mormont.
Yeah.
Lady of Bear Island.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I love those dogs.
It was.
There was this winner's here. I'm like, yes.
It was. I got chills, but I also got chills knowing that I don't think this is going to work out.
Yeah.
Specifically because Littlefinger has always had his little finger in the back of Sansa's.
Yep.
Brand.
So what was that look? That moment where, because she's telling Jon, no, you should be king. And he's like, they're never going to accept me as king.
Yeah.
It's going to be you. And she's like, no, I just don't think that's going to work. And then what happens, she doesn't look distressed at all until she looks at Littlefinger.
Littlefinger.
My take on it was she was distressed that he was going to do something.
True.
Because she looks happy as shit mm-hmm. until she looks at Littlefinger, who's like, looks
what
like he
fuck?
Has like a fart he's trying to hold on.
Because his obsession is to obviously cultivate power. He wants, and he says in that episode, the picture I see in my mind, and always becomes a little clearer every day, is me on the Iron Throne and you sitting beside me.
A bad call.
And John is just another.
That's
a Dr.
Nerd Love moment waiting to happen right there.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy. Don't do that.
Yeah. Well,
don't tell the prospective queen that you've already made plans to be the real king and have her sit by your side and go, good job.
Yeah. Well, he's always been about that. And he's always been obsessed with Catelyn, and now Catelyn's gone.
Well,
the next best thing is her daughter.
We know he has a big death coming. I have no question. I think he might take out one character before he does it, and it might be Sansa.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
But
he
will take out at least one major character, and then he will get a horrible death. Suspicion.
And he deserves it because he's behind a lot of the stuff that happened. And as we know, he's the one who killed Jon Arryn, who was the Hand of the King to Robert. He was behind, along with the Tyrells, the assassination of King Joffrey. He betrayed Ned Stark. He set in motion, the exception of the ice zombies, he's responsible for a lot of the most horrific things throughout the entire season.
It's funny because when you watch early on, and it could have been him or Varys that would have been the guy who is in that position of wow, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And now Varys is firmly in the good guy camp.
And he's so awesome.
Yeah, he's
so
great.
Yeah.
and Littlefinger is in that sort of you did stuff for the wrong reasons, but that helped the good guys.
Yeah,
but because it was the wrong reasons, you're going to end up paying.
Yeah, it's all for yourself in the end. It's always trying to cultivate power for himself to make sure that he's in a better position.
But then we've got Daenerys' army on the way, which that final shot of the whole wow, this is
your
entire fleet, this army is not something to sneeze at. You are maybe bigger than anything that exists, any single army that exists mm-hmm. on the mainland. There,
yeah,
and you got dragons.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, it's like I'm not really sure how this is.
Here's the thing. Her force is made up of the Unsullied mercenaries, the Dothraki horde.
She gonna marry Tyrion? Is that what's gonna happen?
I don't know. Well, she does name him Hand of the King, which is another moment which I was because he excelled at being Hand of the King in the second season.
Another moment gave me the chills.
It did.
Made me tear up when she gives him the Hand of the King because it meant nothing to him
yeah.
when he got it before.
Yeah. And his father was like, you got to do this.
And this time, it was like the most emotional moment of his life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that whole speech he got, that was one of the best Tyrion moments in the whole show.
Tyrion's, the thing that I think why I like Tyrion so much, and it was also one of his greatest flaws, is that he has always wanted to be loved throughout his entire life.
Yeah.
And he's never got that from his father, who, as we know, he kills in the toilet. He's never got that from his sister, and to a certain extent, Jaime. But then again, Jaime was always the golden boy, and then everyone else despised him. Even though, as we know, he saved all those people at the Battle of the Blackwater and everything like that. Like, he always tries to get people to love him. For the first time, he actually gets that with Daenerys, and that's why he wants to follow her.
Yeah.
Even though I thought his arc during the season was a little slow, like, some of the Marine stuff, specifically when he's with Grey Worm and Dany's linguist.
Yeah.
It's like some of this, they kind of go for these comedic moments. They kind of fall flat for me.
By the way, Grey Worm, the actor who plays that, is on an episode of, is it Harmontown or Nerdist? I can't remember. He's on one of them.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm such a big dork. It's just like, and they're like, wow, you are a big dork.
You wouldn't think of him as the character he plays.
Yeah, not at all.
But, it just, for me, it's like, it wasn't until like that last episode and the ninth episode, because of course everyone thinking about like the Battle of the Bastards between Jon and Ramsay, but that moment when Dany comes in with her dragons and burns anything, Tyrion goes to the one last master who managed to survive. He's like, I think you should do what she says.
You know,
it's like, to me, that was like probably his best moments during that season, of course, the one after that. But yeah, most of the episodes that he was in, for the season, I didn't particularly care for. But,
Actually really liked him this season. I thought the last season was where he was most misused, where it was like, we don't really know what to do with this character. So, you know, it's like he's just kind of being hunted. And
they put him with, Sir Friendzone. What's his name? I forget his name. Mormont?
Yeah.
I think Jorah Mormont.
Yeah.
And yeah, they kind of go on there. I mean, that's what he is.
Yeah.
Even in the end where he's like, I love you, Dany. It's like, okay, go cure yourself.
Well, that's interesting. The interesting talking about that though, because her whole basically prophecy, if you will,
mm-hmm.
of like, you will do this, you will heal yourself, and then you will come back and be one of my commanders.
Yeah.
Like, so there's no way they're going to let that go.
No.
No,
not at all.
So, do you think he's going to have a decisive moment towards the end of the show? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't even appear again until the last, like, three episodes.
He'll probably come back to whether he's cured or not.
Yeah.
As, to fight the White Walkers with her. And maybe that'll be their moment where they actually, you know, share their love with each other. Because to me, that, even though I think I know who she's eventually going to end up marrying.
No, I want to hear this. Who?
Well, as we know, she
it's not Jon Snow. He's too boring for her.
Man, I think it will be Jon Snow.
No, he's too dull for her.
Well, that, and they're also related, as we know.
Yeah, well, yeah. Maybe.
R plus L equals J.
Actually, it's funny. Like, I see all these websites. What did she whisper? I'm like, dude, they show close-up of her lips moving. Are you kidding me? No one has paid a lip reader yet to say what she said.
See, that entire scene, like, really frustrated. It's like, guys, are you really going to keep this secret again? But then they showed the baby in the brown eyes, and they immediately cut to Jon Snow.
It's clearly the baby is Jon Snow.
Yeah.
But there's something we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one that, again, R plus J, R being Rhaegar, who was the Mad King's eldest son, who was Dany's older brother, not the douche older brother who died in the first season.
Yeah.
That he fell in love with Lyanna, they eloped and went to Dorne, and, you know, Lyanna had the baby and then she died in childbirth. I mean, that's kind of the theory that everyone thinks kind of is, like, what actually happened. And it's like, I hope they don't pull, like, another switcheroo. It's like, oh, it actually wasn't. It's like, come on, guys, just, you almost did it. It's like 99% there. I just wish they would have said, like, it's Rhaegar's. So.
I want her, Daenerys, to reign with her new lesbian Tully friend. I'm just like, fuck it.
Oh, Yara?
Yeah. We're together. I don't care.
She's into it, too. She was like, yeah, let's do this.
And we're crossing bridges. Let's go, baby.
Although, poor Theon, because in, like, the couple episodes before that, when they go to that, like, whorehouse in Essos, and she's all just, you know, macking on this very attractive naked woman, and Theon's just sitting there. It's like, I have no dick.
I remember when I used to like this.
And that's the other thing. I really want to commend Alfie Allen, because I don't think he gets enough credit. Like, when we first see Theon Greyjoy in season one, and in season two, well, season one, he's just like this douchey kind of guy, this like this servant of the Starks. And then season two, he just becomes like a villain, kind of an incompetent villain, but the stuff he does. And then season three, tortured by Ramsay Bolton, transformed into this just shell of a man. It's a pretty, just his arc is pretty compelling.
Yeah,
and what
agreed.
He goes through, and like even during that moment when Yara says, "Look, either you're going to help me or not, or better yet, why don't you just cut your wrists and be done with it?" And that moment's like, yeah, tough love from the Greyjoys. Like that moment when Alfie Allen just looks up at her, it's like you see just like almost life come back into his eyes. To me, that was like, wow, that was like a really powerful moment that honestly I don't think enough people are talking about. Yeah, okay. I really admire Alfie Allen, has
the arc that you don't see people discussing.
Yeah,
because it's before. And it's weird, his performance is one of the strongest on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
So we haven't even talked at all about Bran Stark.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird that we kind of forget about him because he's the only character on the whole show outside of Melisandre who has, like, arbitrary magic powers. That has actual, like, I have a wizard rating. Mm-hmm. I can pull out my character sheet and show you what spells I have.
Pretty much. Well, his power is to deliver exposition to us.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. He's... Yeah, I mean, like, in one of the major moments of what's going to happen is due to one of his hallucinations in the last episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's during his vision that we find out Jon Snow's true parentage. But, I mean, probably the best moment, even though it involves Bran, but it's really not about Bran. Because in season five, we're not even introduced to Bran again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they take the whole season off, and then we're finally introduced to him again in season five. He's with,
season six.
Season six, excuse me. He's with, the three-eyed raven played by, Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
Who,
a weird little, like, one of two cameos this season that are kind of, like, not long enough.
No.
You know?
Well, it's like they saw Star Wars Force Awakens, and they're like, we want to make it a little longer than that.
It's like, we're going to have Max von Sydow. Oh, he's going to be stuck in a tree the whole time.
Well,
we're going to have him.
During the visions, he's walking around.
They made a big announcement as well, like Ian McShane.
Oh,
we're going to have Ian McShane.
I completely forgot
this
about
season.
That.
Yeah. He's going to be awesome. Yeah. And he does hold a big turning point, like for a character that presumably will be very important in the future with the Hound.
Yes.
Which is great. That episode is fucking great.
Thank God, because they didn't show his death in season four. It's like, if you didn't show him die, he's still alive.
He's still alive. And I like that he's kind of come back with renewed purpose and morals.
Yeah.
Now, like, I've decided that I hate people who are dicks.
He's always hated that, but now he's like, he feels the fact that he survived. It's like, okay, I'm gonna, and by the way, just the way in which he continues to kill people is always awesome.
Yeah. No, he's like, because he's one of those, like, unstoppable John Wick and Barbarian Times motherfuckers.
He is, yeah.
He's just like,
that actor, he should be cast as Conan, frankly.
Yeah.
I think so. An older Conan. A more
King
sarcastic
Conan.
Conan.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and try to take my woman.
But just back to Bran, I mean, that whole moment with Hodor.
Even brought up the Hodor moment.
That was the first time I cried during that season.
Weirdly, didn't affect me because I saw it coming from a million miles away.
See, I didn't.
Not his actual death and what did it. Just that narratively, he had kind of become not useful anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're going to kill him soon.
Yeah.
There's no reason for him to still be here. So I was like two episodes before that when they were going into the flashbacks to the past, I'm like, yeah, they're getting ready to kill him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I guess I had kind of, that had worked out. I find most of what makes me cry is those moments of nobility, those moments on the show.
So
yeah, exactly. Those moments of like a true character doing the right thing despite the odds. Those are what make me like cry. It's never when a character dies. I'm like, whatever. I always so rarely anymore on the show do you like. I think Ned Stark was the last time I cried when a character died.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those things because I knew nothing about Game of Thrones when the first season came out, and when, of course, you know, I mean, I guess the hint should have been there. Sean Bean, so of course he's going to die.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking when he's on the chopping block, I'm like, oh, what's going to happen? Is Arya Stark going to go up there and stab Joffrey? Is the guy from from the Night's Watch going to go up there and stop? It's like, oh no, they chopped his head off. And it's like, oh, this is what the kind of show is going to be. But I think the reason why Hodor's death worked for me is that we learn the origin of Hodor. Because in the previous episodes, we learned, oh, no, he could talk completely. And his name was Willis. And he was a normal person. And the reason why he's the way he is because Bran can somehow influence the past.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100% it works. Mm-hmm. But it works more for continuing Bran's story than for me feeling bad. Feeling bad for Hodor. I still love the meme with the whole, like, the cat. Let me out! Let me out! Let me out! Meow! Meow! like, okay, yeah, I identify
make a
with that.
Joke of a tragic death. But,
no, I mean, like, it's a very well done death. I'm not criticizing it at all by saying that. I'm just saying I saw it coming.
Right.
And was like,
and I just did.
I was not ready for it. I was more like, wow, that was a really great story way to evolve, like, how Bran's powers works and to give him a degree of guilt to make him feel responsibility. That's good because that character is suddenly, like, who's getting all these new abilities has to have some sort of with great power comes great responsibility
I was just thinking that,
And you're like, oh, you fucking killed Hodor. Good job.
Hodor was your Uncle Ben.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, that – and it's cool because, as we see, Bran, he also sees the future.
Yeah.
And, like, when we're led to believe, when he has that vision, when we see the Mad King of the wildfire and Jaime stabbing in the back – we also see the wildfire go off, which, as we know, did not happen.
Yeah.
He saw what Cersei eventually did. And so I wonder if that power is going to be used again. We're going to see more kind of visions of the future in the next couple seasons.
Well, we almost have to. Otherwise, what's the point of even having gotten Bran to this point?
Exactly. I want to also bring up, okay, so they talk about how, because Benjen Stark, by the way, still alive.
Oh, by the way, well, no. Still alive.
You're right.
Dead.
Yeah.
Unclear how he's dead and still, like, reasonable.
Zombie kind of, like, his flesh doesn't look too good.
No, I mean, he even said in the last episode, I'm not alive.
Yeah.
You know, he's a zombie, but why isn't he a brain dead zombie? Mm-hmm. Why isn't he, like, we don't know any of that.
I think
glad to see him. I was like, fucking Benjen, you rock.
Yeah, I was like, I was shocked. I'm like, you were in season one, and now you're suddenly back.
Honestly thought we'd never see you again.
Yeah. I mean, we saw his hand.
That was a very TV writing thing as opposed to a George R. R. Martin writing thing.
Yeah.
That was that moment where I was like, George R. R. Martin, I bet you anything Benjen does not reappear in Martin's further books.
Well, there's a rumor that there's a character in the books called Cold Hands, and he saves Bran and the girl he's with. I forget.
Yeah, the one who can throw ice balls.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
And he's like, and they say he like covers his face. You don't really know who he is, and he's kind of zombified.
They're
and rotting.
Saying it's Benjen.
It's probably. I mean, that's probably who the character actually is.
Yeah, but then you've got to have that much more. Like, why is he not a mindless zombie? What did he do? Did he have a token on him?
Well, they explain that because he was stabbed by, I guess, a blade from the what are they called? I'm going to call them snow zombies. From the ice zombies, he was taken by the Children of the Forest, who we learn are the ones who created the White Walkers.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit. Okay.
We got so little of them before they were all dead.
Yeah. Like, well, they kind of...
You got a lot more questions to answer, I'm
true,
just saying.
True, true. But I think they took him to the Three-Eyed Raven. Yeah, Three-Eyed Raven, who I guess kind of cured him, but didn't. Like, he's... I mean, he is the way he is, where he's kind of caught in between.
He's a zombie, but he has his own mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. But the thing I want to bring up, okay, as we know, Bran is touched by the Night King in his vision. And that's what allows the Night King and his White Walkers to go into the domain of the Three-Eyed Raven. Because, as we previously learned in the beginning of the season, they can't get in there because there's, like, spells and magic placed upon them.
Yeah.
Now, we also find out from Benjen in episode 10, that there is magic that's been placed on the wall that prevents the White Walkers from either going under it or over it or through it. Now that because if Bran has been touched by them, if he passes through the wall, does that now allow the White Walkers to get through the wall? Will he inevitably bring about the apocalypse?
Good
the
question.
Westerosi apocalypse? I mean, I was just thinking. I mean, I think that might be how that occurs.
I mean, admittedly, like, ultimately it's going to come down to Daenerys because she's got big flame beasts.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like, you're ice, we're flying.
Ice and fire. I
mean, you guys, none of you guys can fly. We can. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you just know all those dragons will be dead by the end of the series.
We barely brought up Melisandre.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, she plays a very important role. She resurrects Jon Snow, who, as we saw, was stabbed to death by...
Douches
and Little Douche, who got their comeuppance in the later episodes.
I was shocked to see that even... I was really waiting for him to say, no, Little Douche, you're just Banner.
He saw that kid's face, like the most smug, mean, like sneering face, like, nah, I'm going to kill you,
too. I know. He's like, I was thinking about it, but the kid's like... Me, fuck you. Yeah. It's like, well, if you just had a sort of, I fucked up, dude.
Yeah, come on, man. Do it, man. I'm okay.
It would have been like, all right, man. It's all good.
Not little Ollie. Fuck Ollie.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, the fact that Jon Snow's back and, again, proclaimed King of the North. But the other thing I really loved about this season is really Davos and Melisandre also come to a head. Mm-hmm. And their relationship, which has always been just like they're almost at each other's throats.
It was so nice to see him finally have the balls to go up and go, fuck you.
Yeah, see, I got watery-eyed during that scene. Because, again, Liam Cunningham, who plays Davos, like I don't think he gets enough credit. He's great. And that moment where he's like, you burned a little girl to death. Your lord is evil.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't matter what you were trying to do. Stannis was wrong. And she's like taken aback because, you know, Davos was all about Stannis, even though he was King Douchebag. Yeah. That moment was like, Jesus Christ. It's like, I don't think I've cried this many times during just a single Game of Thrones episode before.
I find troublesome about the season, though. I guess it all depends on what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
It's just moments like that where you go, oh, well, your gods have magic powers. Clearly, so do their gods.
Yeah.
And so do their... And Bran's got his shit, whatever the fuck that is.
The old gods.
Like, we've never actually met a god.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so is this whole series going to take place with the gods taking no responsibility? They're going to issue a public statement on Fox News after the fact and be like, in no way did we encourage these armies to... There's nothing... They applied to the normal internet portals, and that's it. I'm kind of like, at some point you want to see the gods or take responsibility for being dicks. But especially with the Melisandre story,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, it's a major plot point that they were like, nah, we changed our minds.
Yeah, that is true.
And I worry that they're just never going to resolve that, or they're just going to go, you know what, she was just imagining what the gods thought they wanted, but it was like, no, that's clearly not true, because mm-hmm. she brought Jon Snow back to life. She brought demons, like smoky demons,
baby demons,
out of like that. She clearly had god-given powers, so... that feels like that's a point that needs to be resolved.
I think it's... Well, they kind of talk about it with Arya when she goes to the House of Black and White, and where she's with the Faceless Men. You see all these religious artifacts there. All these people go to pray to these gods.
Yeah.
But to... what's his name? Faceless guy number one. I forget his name, but the guy is like...
Girl
has no name.
Kurt Cobain of the
Kurt Cobain. Very much is. His whole thing is like there's only one god and it's death. So if it's anything, it's like, I don't know, maybe it's this whatever supernatural, it's the force. It's a supernatural force that connects, it binds us and penetrates us.
That'd be the connection.
Yeah, it pisses us off. And yeah, I mean, it could be, I mean, we don't know, but the last episode, it's not only, it's kind of a rejection of kind of the societal norms that have been put in place of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's a rejection of religion. It's burned away. It's a rejection of kind of the hierarchy that's placed on families, where Jon Snow, a bastard, is proclaimed king.
Oh.
And we see kind of the elevation of science, which, of Samwell Tarly.
I was about to say, him walking into the Citadel and seeing all those books. Like, I saw a meme today where it was like, they had replaced from like Beauty and the Beast. For Belle sliding down the bookshelf, put his face of joy on. I was like, I totally identified with that sequence. Yeah. It's like, look at all these books.
It's all he's ever wanted. But again, it's showing, like, look at the beauty of science and learning and knowledge.
And let's not forget that he comes bearing the Valerian sword.
Heartsbane of Heartstarly.
Which they're saying, oh, that is one of the few swords that can take out, like, you know, magical creatures, White Walkers. And I think his purpose next season is going to be learning that process of how to forge new ones.
Yeah, I definitely think that. I mean, as we learn in season 5, he discovers Dragonglass, which is obsidian. And he kills a White Walker with it. And as we find out from Stannis, Dragonstone, which is an island off of, it's like one of the farthest islands off of Westeros, kind of in between Essos and Westeros, is filled with Dragonstone.
Yeah.
Obsidian. So I imagine he's going to, like, we just got to craft weapons of this stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe he'll do, I mean, the fact that he's at the Citadel, at that library, he's clearly going to learn something. And maybe, again, maybe forging of Valyrian weapons or to make them more effective or whatever it might be, or some type of clue and information about the White Walkers that was lost.
I do want to bring this down to a close here, but I will ask these questions. What the fuck happened to Ghost, who has not been killed? I think he's the only one of the direwolves who hasn't died.
He's the only one. I mean, yeah, we lost Summer and Shaggy Dog and, well, Arya's, which was escaped in season 1.
I have no idea. Yeah. I lost track. But I know that Ghost is still alive.
You know why? Because they ran out of budget.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, the last two episodes alone, I mean, the battle scene, which, by the way, the battle scene in episode 9 is incredible. And
Well, the battle scenes.
Yeah. No, true.
That whole episode is nothing but two gigantic battles.
Mm-hmm. See, like, a naval dragon battle, and then the Jon Snow almost being suffocated. That's a thing that's never brought up. Like, in medieval warfare, a lot of people would die because they would suffocate because the bodies would be piled on top.
No, that was one of the things that made that scene so great.
It was epic.
This is a danger I didn't see coming in this episode. And it was like, I forget that I heard, actually heard two people in a discussion about it. I was just like, I actually said nerds and then caught myself, like, where they were talking historically about what, like, civilization, that battle.
I think that was with me. I was on my phone with my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Carl Clark, which, Carl, you should listen to this.
You're a nerd.
He was saying that what Ramsay did was he borrowed a strategy from the Carthaginians when they would, Hannibal.
Nerd.
He would surround the Romans with a phalanx maneuver, and they would basically just stab everyone with a spear, and they keep the shield of protecting each other.
It's the only way.
This is what I deal with, Carl.
You're the only people left I can call a nerd. Is history nerds. I'm just like, you're the only people nerdier than me.
Yeah.
Is people who are like, well, technically, when the Romans did, nerd.
It worked in this case for this episode.
It did.
So.
You probably serve more use in civilization and history than I do. Well, I guess we're kind of out of stuff other than the main question for Melisandre.
Yeah.
What the fuck is she going to do?
I think that she'll come back to kind of be like the savior.
It's like, go south.
Yeah. Or if you come back, we'll execute you.
Well, she's never actually been south.
No, she's been south with Stannis.
Not by far, though.
Well, the Stormlands are below King's Landing.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's true.
So it's Stormlands.
It's not like she's gonna go to the.
No, I mean, yeah, she has nowhere to go. I know. I think what's gonna happen with Melisandre.
Yeah.
She's gonna meet up with Thoros of Myr and the Hound, who we know are coming up north.
Yeah.
Because we learned that they're the winds of winter are.
So you think she's gonna turn around and be like? Well,
I think so. It's like, look, I mean,
if I'm with Clegane, then it'll be okay.
Clegane, who won't, you know, you don't want to mess with. So, and the thing with Clegane, I still want to see him fight his zombie brother.
The zombie? Oh, yeah. Like, what's his name?
Gregor Clegane.
Yeah. Like, who, by the way, how did he become a zombie? Did they just
Found some sciencey thing to do? Apparently, that's all we know.
Okay.
Because he was poisoned by, like, basilic venom by Oberyn Martell during the battle in season 4.
Because that one moment where he's just like, I'm sorry, what do you got? They just like hit him in the chest with the big spike.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
That guy, yeah.
And the guy's just like,
oh, fuck.
It's like, you didn't get that he was a zombie?
No. Well, we find out. I mean, he takes his helmet off, which he doesn't look too bad.
I mean, the only moment in this whole season that could be, like, you know, stir up people getting angry about something is the insinuation that Cersei set off him to basically rape the shit out of, like, you know,
the shame. Yeah. Shame none.
I mean, they don't actually say it, but or they don't even insinuate it, but you imagine that's what's happening.
It is. I mean, where he is kind of in the scene, like, she's screaming, but she's nowhere. He's not performing. Yeah. He's not raping her. I don't know.
But the way it's set up, he starts taking his shit off, and you're like,
yeah, I mean, it does set up that. And as we know, Gregor raped and killed Rhaegar's wife and children. So, I mean, that could be what he's doing. I
think it's just adding to the Cersei's going to die element.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, I mean, she's clearly.
Like, Cersei is definitely going to be, like, now they've gotten her over her, like, arc of, like, shit, a bunch of people took advantage of me and I'm the underdog, and now she's not the underdog. She's going to be a straight up villain from
here
on out.
She's the Mad Queen.
Yeah. She's a straight up villain from here on out, especially once she's dealing with the death of having all her children. Yeah. She's going to go way bonkers crazy.
Definitely.
Where even Jaime, I wouldn't be surprised if they have Jaime be the one who kills her.
That would make sense.
Yeah. He's the Kingslayer.
He is the Kingslayer.
And now she's the king.
Yeah.
As it were.
Although, there's one thing I want to bring up. Have you seen the GIF with Tommen?
Tommen,
yeah, falling out the window.
No,
which, again,
I
is a pretty epic scene. That's like the newest GIF that everyone's doing right now. It's like, oh, Marjorie's dead or whatever. And then he falls out. Like, everyone's just making that turn into like a meme. It's just like, okay, child murder. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it works.
Well, I mean, do you have anything else to say about this season? We covered a lot.
Yeah, we did. I mean, to me, it kind of makes up for some of the mistakes that were made with season 5. The pacing is a lot better. Maybe slow down a bit in the middle, but I mean, those last two episodes.
Not by a lot.
Not by a lot, but.
There's maybe two episodes that.
Yeah, exactly.
Pull back a bit.
Yeah, like episode 6 or 7 or something like that. But I mean, episode 9 and 10 alone, it's just like, wow, this show is just doing so many cool things. And it's taking, it's kind of the show that says, like, we can kill main characters and won't matter. And they kill so many characters.
Every year's ratings numbers have been higher than the previous year.
Yeah, most recent episode was the highest ever.
So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love the show. I'm sad to see that it's going to be coming to an end, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, end your story.
Yeah.
The way
don't keep it going because you have high ratings.
Exactly.
Get to the end that is we deserve.
Yeah.
And of course, HBO is the network to do that.
Yeah. They're very good at it.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having me. I love talking Game of Thrones. It's Star Wars, and then right underneath that, Game of Thrones.
Since you've memorized everything.
Yeah. I know a little bit. I've been on the Game of Thrones wiki. A couple of times.
Enough times to remember it. I can glance at the wiki and go like, I just saw that. Shit. What did it say? And you're like, well.
Well, the time of King Baelor I.
We have to go back to the Game of Thrones Silmarillion to really understand.
I guess that's the equivalent. I know the Silmarillion of Game of Thrones.